And of course, our special guest tonight, David Wilcock, he is in Amsterdam. He's got a major event coming up. So gracious enough to spend 3 hours with us tonight. So we'll be back in a moment with David as we continue talking about these events. Very strange events indeed. Hey, David, before we move on to talk about some 2012 work, tell me about this group, this occult group that really wants to start this major war. What's up with this?
Well, this group essentially believes that, as I said, Lucifer is the creator, that the reason why in the Bible Lucifer got thrown out of God's pantheon was because he was the brightest and best angel and everyone else was corrupt. There's an interesting tie in there with the fact that this whole religion, which uses Freemasonry as sort of a surface facade to recruit new members, although it in and of itself is not the root of the problem, was founded essentially by Sir Francis Bacon. And the history there is that Sir Francis Bacon apparently was Queen Elizabeth's illegitimate son. And he didn't realize this until he was older, and she banished him. So there are a series of books in the Library of Congress. In fact, there's a whole drawer in the Library of Congress card catalog of cards of individual books saying that Francis Bacon was William Shakespeare. The reason why this is important is that in the Shakespearean plays, he actually disclosed a lot of real stuff that was going on. And that's another huge conspiracy that people are not aware of, the fact that this guy was actually responsible for the Shakespearean plays. The real William Shakespeare was illiterate, and when he died, you know, they found no books in his house. He couldn't even sign his name. He had to sign an X. And he got too stupid and started to want to demand more money, and that's when they killed him. And then he posthumously published 4 more plays. So this whole basis of the religion was the Luciferianism seems to be pretty much tied to Sir Francis Bacon. And I think that his rejection from the British pantheon of royalty had a lot to do with why he became so antagonistic towards it and why he constructed a whole religion around Lucifer, who was also ostracized. I think that the Luciferian tradition does have certain elements of truth in it, because they've got the ancient mystery teachings. They've got some secret stuff that they inherited from this lost civilization, but it's become completely tangled up in stuff that absolutely I don't agree with, which is the manipulation and control of other people for the benefit of the self, the use of occult rituals that will try to steal energy for the benefit of the self. And I can't get down with any of that kind of stuff. They've certainly tried to recruit me. They've tried to buy me out. I've talked about this on your show before, but I just have deep philosophical objection with the method by which they worship what they feel to be the creator. And it's not ever going to be resolved, because my position is firm, and that's just how it goes. It's not what I believe. A lot of people on the internet like to say that I'm a shill for them or that I'm doing their bidding. Nothing could be further from the truth. I would have way more money and be way more worldly successful if I had taken the deal.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Which is a classic Faustian bargain.
Let's spend some time here, David, this hour, talking a little bit also about 2012. It's right around the corner now with this Mayan date. It's months away. It seemed endless in the beginning. Now it's just right around the corner. You and I were on a panel talking about this not too long ago. What's your take on this now?
Okay. I think that 2012 is very much not an ordinary year. And the reason why I say that, to put it in as concise a framework as possible, is that there are very real cycles that are ending this year, cycles that include a long-term wobble in the Earth's axis. And that wobble was then divided up into 12 zones of time, which they call the ages of the zodiac. So we're in the age of Pisces, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. French astronomers at the Institut Géographique National showed that the shift point is somewhere around the year 2012. And there are a variety of other pieces of data that show that this shift point into the age of Aquarius does occur at the end of this year, and the Mayan calendar end date being only one of them. There's also references to it in the Hindu scriptures, where they tie it in with a conjunction involving Jupiter and a constellation called Titia, and I have that in my book, Source Field Investigations. And actually, the date of that conjunction is 2014, but there's a variety of data points that all coincide around the end of this year. So what is this big cycle? Interestingly enough, two historians, Giorgio de Santayana and Hertha von de Schend, they were mainstream, they were highly credible. Everything that they said was gold-plated, and everybody took it as sacrosanct. And in the 1960s, they pretty much shattered their good standing in the history community by coming out with what for them was sort of like the grand unified theory of history. And their grand unified theory was that you can look at all these ancient civilizations, and they're all secretly encoding in their mythology information about this 25,000-year cycle in the Earth. They do this mathematically. They do this with all sorts of weird symbolism that doesn't seem to have any other possible interpretation. Graham Hancock found this story and presented it to the world in Fingerprints of the Gods, which I read shortly after graduating college in 1995. It absolutely blew my doors off. The question is this: how can dozens of ancient cultures, geographically isolated all over the world, independently have the same basic mythological framework that talks about this cycle in the Earth, and that at the end of the cycle, there is some pain that we go through, there is some Earth changes and some cataclysmic activity, which we're already seeing, but, and here's the important part, it ushers in a golden age, and these myths are very specific about the grandeur of this golden age that results. It is so discontinuously better than what we have now that it's like the difference between night and day. And in fact, the so-called Illuminati often use the catchphrase, the dawn of a new day, to emphasize the teaching that they also inherited, which they seem to think they've got a lot more information about than most people do. They know about the end of the cycle, and they're expecting that when the end of the cycle comes around, that they get to have their new world order. But what's happening is events are steering them off of that timeline. So, Georgia, to the substance of your question about what do I think is going to happen, I would love to have that answer. All I can do is conduct investigations and try to find threads of research. And I'd like to let you steer this a little bit because I can just ramble on. But where would you like this discussion to go from here? Because we could go in any number of directions.
Well, you know, I've always said that I think this is going to be some kind of solar event. And you know, doggone it, David, here we are. We're talking about sun events almost every day now in this program, whether it's an X flare or an M flare. Something's happening. Something's heating up. And I'm just wondering if that's, you know, going to be tied right into that date.
Well, absolutely. I think there are solar events going on. I, for years now, have developed a very complex body of data from predominantly from NASA showing that the entire solar system is going through climate change. We are actually seeing the sun going through remarkable changes that are unlike anything that have happened in its previous history. In fact, they had to completely rewrite the system for how they categorize solar flares because they got above the X10 level, which is as high as it was supposed to go. We've had satellites completely burn out. We've had all sorts of crazy anomalous events taking place, including the fact that every planet in the solar system is showing signs of getting a much stronger magnetic field. It's getting much brighter on the night side. It's getting hotter. It's having all sorts of anomalous climate change events. And so the events here on Earth, which some people are still trying to be skeptical about and say that nothing has changed, And yet when we were in London, it was so freezing, you could barely even go outside without having a winter coat on.
It's been very cold in Los Angeles up until the last few days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, this is what we expected was going to happen. The actual peak of the warming trend was in 97 and 98, and we've been on a decreasing trend since then. This is all part of natural cycles in the Earth. But let's not veer off from what you asked me, because we're talking about a prophecy that actually is being supported by hard data. Look in the solar system. Look in our backyard. Find the truth for yourself. Read the same NASA studies that I compiled in my book and previously with Richard Hoagland in an article we wrote called Interplanetary Day After Tomorrow, which is on his website. You can go read that. You can read about these studies where they're tying this all together. And invariably what they say is, well, it's a seasonal change in the planet. The planet is tilting towards the sun or away from the sun, and whatever it's doing, it's causing this warming trend to occur. Well, how can you explain a synchronicity, if you will, a coincidence, where every planet is tilting the right way to cause it to warm up all at the same time? The answer seems to be that the solar system itself is undergoing a change of state energetically. And so I want to bring out one other data point here for your question, because this is really great geek stuff. There is a researcher named Dr. Harold Aston who put together a series of equations that talked about what kind of microwave light will be given off by higher dimensions, that higher dimensions really exist. They're alternate domains that we could ultimately live in, and that those domains give off frequencies of microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did this all by back engineering the Maxwell equations and coming out with very simple alterations of it. And there's a website he had, still has, which is energyscience.co.uk. I think that's still the website. And there's a series of tutorials that you can read where he talks you through how the equations were built. It's very logical if you can understand some physics. The conclusion is that he gets these numbers that represent the microwave frequencies that higher dimensions give off, and he calculates them down to multiple decimal points of accuracy with the scientific process. He was blown away when another researcher named Dr. William Tift found these exact same microwave numbers out in space. And what's the most interesting is that these numbers come out of galaxies in onion-like layers that are concentric with the center of the galaxy. In other words, the highest microwave numbers are at the center, the lowest ones are at the outside. And they come along in stepwise fashion, meaning like in the center you'll have a 10, and then the next zone is a 9, and the next zone is an 8, a 7, a 6, a 5, and there's nothing in between. So what are these zones? It literally means that every star within said zone, whether it's a 6 or a 5, let's say it starts out as a 5, and then the 6 starts coming in, When the star is a 5, it gives off the signature of a 5. Then all of a sudden, it goes to a 6. And that means that the microwave energy that star is giving off suddenly and dramatically changes. Now, this is science. I didn't make this up, and I lay it all out in the book, Source Field Investigations. Also, Dr. William Tift, the man who discovered this, saw that these zones are expanding away from the center of the galaxy. They're on the move. They don't sit still.
Okay.
And so I've said that, okay, these are galactic zones of energy. This is the incoming energy that's charging up our solar system, making the planets hotter, brighter, and more magnetic.
Right. It's hitting all of them.
And I believe, yeah, that there are ETs out there who can see this wave coming. They've been seeing it coming for thousands of years, and they've written it into all the great religious texts and all these dozens of ancient mythologies that talked about this cycle in the Earth. Now, how the cycle in the Earth links to galactic energy is a more complex discussion, which I'd be happy to go into, but this is radio and this is not a scientific panel, so it would take some time to do that. I'd be happy to do that.
We'll touch on
a lot
of
things to talk about here.
So you do believe that we're going through a solar system change. Could it be catastrophic?
Sure. I think it already is. I think we're already seeing things like Fukushima and the Indonesian tsunami, and there's been an over 500% increase in volcanic activity and over 400% increase in earthquake activity. That's all easily documented. All you have to do is look at earthquakes above 2.5 on the Richter scale since 1973, and they've gone way, way up. So some of these changes are attributable to human pollution, global warming. That's a valid hypothesis for some things, but certainly not for things like an increase in volcanism and earthquake activity. And yet it's happening. So yeah, the ancient prophecies did say there would be cataclysmic activity, but where I disagree with the insiders, with these folks who are in some cases, not all cases, in some cases they're Luciferians, is they think that God basically has it out for us and is going to wipe out the planet, and that that's a good thing. So they dug in underground, they built all these underground bases, and they plan on riding this thing out while everybody else on the surface is toast. Whether they think it's going to be a solar explosion, whether they think it's going to be a pole shift, floods, they are absolutely desperate for this cataclysm to happen. And at this point, it's basically the only fallback they've got. What they don't realize is that they were manipulated thousands and thousands of years ago by these ETs who put in prophecies that are very cleverly worded so that...
Like codes?
Like what?
Codes?
Yeah. The prophecies have clever codes in them that say what actually happens. They say that there's going to be the coming of a golden age, but they do it in code. Let me give an interesting example. Hindu scripture is probably one of the greatest golden age prophecies we've got. They talk about it in quite some length. In the Hindu scripture, it says that there is some sort of world catastrophe, and that's in there. And so that's the part that if you're paranoid, you could hinge your head on that. But then immediately after that part of the scripture, it's talking about everybody still being here and everything's still being fine. Nobody's died off. And it says that there is the coming of what they call Kalki the Destroyer, which apparently is some sort of higher level being that has telekinesis and incredible power and literally defeats the negative forces on Earth, which in the Hindu scripture are called the Malecha Kings, M-L-E-C-C-H-A. And even the word kind of sounds like you're vomiting. Blech. Right? I think that's why they chose that term. And Kalki literally comes in and wipes these guys out. And I think that they are now fulfilling the prophecy of Kalki the Destroyer. It's just that it hasn't quite become public yet. But there's lots of events that have filtered into the media, which if you know what you're looking at, you can see some of the traces of this. Unfortunately, although that line of reasoning bore beautiful fruit at the end of the year 2010, beginning in October, and I'd be happy to discuss that with you, and it also continued with these underground bases that were destroyed beginning on August 23rd, 2011, much of what's happened since then has not yet gone public. But it amounts to a complete collapse of the war machine and the ability to create World War III.
David, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about prophecy right here on Coast to Coast AM. Our special guest, David Wilcock. We will be right back. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with David Wilcock about the many things we're talking about. When we come back, let's talk about end time prophecy and, of course, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. David, of course, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we'll talk about that as well, but I do want to get your take again on end times prophecy, pulling out the old book of Revelation in the Bible. So many different civilizations all seem to write about the same thing, that, you know, we are in the midst of a major upheaval. Your thoughts?
Wow. Whew.
I never said it would. Never said it would be easy for you, David.
Hey, you know, I volunteered for this, and I'm doing what I can.
Yes, so. You are. You're doing well.
Sure. We are definitely going through a time of upheaval, and many, many ancient prophecies talked about that. And remember, too, anybody who tries to say, oh, well, this is just a Judeo-Christian belief in the rapture, we're talking about dozens of ancient cultures that predicted the coming of a golden age, whether you're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, or whether you're in India, or whether you're in Africa, or whether you're Australian, doesn't matter where you came from. Every geographical region throughout every part of Earth's history has these prophecies in it. My personal take on it, again, is that the disaster prophecy that Earth is totally wiped out is a cleverly worded misunderstanding that the people who wrote these myths originally, which were the gods, if you will, humans that came here and had very powerful abilities compared to the indigenous folks, the gods wrote those prophecies to fool these New World Order guys, and it's worked very well. They've dug in underground. They think the end is coming. I personally do not. And yes, I did talk about interplanetary climate change. I did say that NASA studies reveal that the whole solar system is going through a very powerful shift. But one of the main reasons why I don't believe in apocalypse is simply that I've had divine contact of my own. I've been documenting my dreams every day for 20 years, and my life has been infused with a variety of wondrous synchronicities and events that completely defy logic. The Casey readings being documented, 14,000 readings being documented, would be an example of a publicly accessible body of information, which is essentially coming from what is referred to as the source, and clearly reveals that humanity is being guided through its spiritual evolution, and that there is a big event coming, which they said in the Casey readings would be the fifth root race. So in my work, I also talk about a misunderstanding in classical literature. And when I say classical literature, I mean Greco-Roman literature, which inherited many much older texts. So when Greco-Roman classical literature talks about the golden age that they're expecting, that's a mistranslation. And it comes from words that were improperly translated. And when you actually fix the translation, instead of golden age, it becomes golden race. And this is not Hitlerian. It's not Nietzschean. It doesn't mean that one race gets elevated and others go in the toilet. It means that we all go through some sort of intrinsic energetic change. And this is the really important part for me. That change requires a spiritual evolution to occur. This is not a cosmic light switch. It's not some passive process that we have no control over and no participation with. It's a change that actually requires us to evolve, and it's an evolution into the greater nature of what it means to be human and what it means to be alive in this universe. I believe that the universe is built of loving energy, and there are certain scientific studies that show that pretty effectively, such as the fact that people who sent loving energy towards DNA were able to change it on a microbiological level and heal the DNA.
That's right.
So there's tons of that kind of stuff. There's the fact that everyone on Earth seems to be becoming increasingly less violent, despite what you hear on the media. The media says if it bleeds, it leads. Maybe I'll coin another one, if it smells, it sells. That sounds good. But actually, the amount of war is continually decreasing. And there was one day last year where Huffington Post had that as their main headline splashed all over. And that's, in my belief, because we're starting to get it. We're seeing the consequences of war and terrorism and violence. And we realize that playing the game of my God is better than your God only leads to a bunch of dead bodies and misery. And why would we want to fight over such things when ultimately, if you sat Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad down at the table and had them have a conversation, maybe we could do it on coast, you know?
Sure.
I'm sure you'd have a lot of people listening that night. They'd probably agree on most of the stuff that they talked about. They'd agree on a monotheistic cosmos. They'd agree on the idea that God is love. They'd agree on the idea that we're all ultimately going to the same place. and that they themselves accessed that infinite awareness in their own way and brought out teachings that they felt would improve society and help people become more loving and more spiritually advanced. I think a lot of parochial differences in religions were the result of what already existed in those areas before these quote-unquote gods showed up. And if they wanted to have any hope of the people taking them seriously, they had to work within the confines of the philosophies and the belief structures within those given areas.
David, if for some reason something happens and the cabal starts winning again, what are some of the signs so people will know something's wrong here?
That's a really cleverly worded question. I like your choice of rhetoric.
Only you would be able to decipher that.
If people are reading this on a transcript, they'll say, wow, George is pretty clever here.
I'm sending a code back to the cabal.
Understood. If they were going to be winning again, how would we know? I will take another rhetoric trick and say, I don't even see how they could possibly win again based on the same quote that you keep airing from Alex Jones during the commercial break.
That's pretty bold.
Which is that secrecy is the oxygen that this group needs to stay alive. If you cut off their oxygen, if you take away their secrecy, they're done. How can you maintain a Luciferian cabal that intends to kill billions of people? How can you keep that going if the people know that you want to kill them? The only way you could keep it going is if you had enough people to hold the guns. And there is every evidence that mutinies are occurring all over the place and that the people who would hold the guns are simply refusing to. In fact, I can now state that the alliance of countries against the Federal Reserve and against financial tyranny is up to 143. I heard that a couple days ago. And I've been working with that alliance to end financial tyranny on Earth in a very practical way by creating the legal structure for mass arrests to take place. And then some people say, well, David, if you're talking about divine intervention, if you're saying that ETs have completely wiped out dozens of underground facilities around the world, that there's not a single thing left in these buildings except for empty rooms, if you're saying that they have made planes so that they can't start when they're going to be used to drop bombs, tanks won't start, people's guns are jamming, they won't fire. We're having an incredible number of these very direct military interventions, which seems to be done by extraterrestrials. Now, if they're doing that and they're not being preferential to any one country, it's anybody that's trying to start a massive war that's being interfered with right now. If all that stuff is happening, then why would it matter that we go after these Federal Reserve guys? I think the answer is that the ETs don't want to just come in like the White Knights and save the day. Very important that we sort these things out on Earth, and it's a lot more spiritually meaningful if we sort them out on Earth. So look, I don't fault people for attacking me and tearing me up on the internet and wanting to hyper-scrutinize everything I say. Do we know that these mass arrests are going to happen? Absolutely not. I am not in any type of command structure. Nobody is asking for my advice on how to do this or when to do this or where to do this. All I heard was some very basic information, and much of what has come since then is in intuitive form through dreams that I've had that show me that there is going to be some very big events taking place. The window that I was told for when these mass arrests would be conducted didn't come true. Does that mean it's not going to happen? No. It doesn't mean that the plan is fake, because we have really good intel on this. We know, for example, that there's classified technology in which they have video cameras that are so tiny that it looks like just a screw on the surface of a fire alarm, for example. But yet, these cameras have been installed all over the place in various locations where these folks have gathered, whether it's Bohemian Grove, whether it's various occult underground bases, whether it's secret locations where they're having rituals. And I can tell you quite emphatically that there is an incredible amount of footage that has been obtained and that will be used to help these mass arrests take place. All we have is little snippets of information, but it does appear that this is going to happen. It does appear that the information will be undeniable when it comes out. And it does appear that 9/11 was a major trigger because, look, the military is not some big giant monster that's trying to destroy the planet. I'm sorry for the people who think that that's what it is. It's a form of conspiracy addiction that I call fear porn,
right,
where you get a high off of the fear. It's just like pornography, where it makes your heart race. It gives you a head rush. It makes you feel very different than you were feeling before you started to read it. Extreme fear is one of those things. That's why people love to go see movies that make you feel terrified. The whole name for one of my favorite genres, thriller, right? You go to see action movies where it's a gun and run, and the guy's on the run, and he's shooting at everybody, and you feel like, oh, my God, how's he going to make it? And it scares you. And you get a rise out of that. You get a high from that. And so people on the Internet are getting this high all the time. But what they're not seeing is that, look, most of the military, they just want to impress their superiors, rise up, and make sure that their kid goes to college and has a good future.
And protect us.
Absolutely. Yep. They went in there with an oath of allegiance, which ultimately is to the people. It does say that they will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so they swear that oath on the Bible. So if they have any shred of religious belief, they've taken an oath to protect us.
I'm so glad you said that, though, David, because so many people have forgotten that statement.
Well, I understand their cynicism, and I can relate to that because I actually did feel that way. And what happened in my case was that I got to meet people who are in the military on very senior levels who are not supporting what's going on. And I can also tell you that even the people who are within the command structure of what's causing the trouble are on the brink of a mass mutiny. And even the people within the organization that most would call the Illuminati, there would be a mass exodus out of this group. These people don't want to be doing Luciferian rituals. They don't want to be having these meetings where they have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and go to some facility and do all this crazy stuff. They don't like this. It's not something that people enjoy. There's a very few number of people at the top who have profited handsomely from this, and everyone else has basically been too afraid to stand up to it and admit how miserable their lives have been as they support these oligarchical bankers who really want nothing more than complete dominance over the planet, its resources, and its people. And they've concluded the only way they can secure that dominance is to dramatically reduce the population. Because most of the world is not white. Most of these people are white. That's just a fact. And they really don't like the idea of a racially inclusive world in which population numbers, to some degree, get to determine the say in where money goes and what we do and the level of geopolitical influence that we have. So they've suppressed free energy and anti-gravity technology because both of those technologies would allow these other areas to completely flourish and westernize.
And let us live a little more peacefully.
Absolutely. Now, the rationale that they give to their members is they tell them to read things like the Iron Mountain document, for example. And they say, well, look, if you feed the people, they're going to breed and breed and breed like rats, and it's going to completely destroy the earth. But look, I talked to other insiders who have clearly stated that the military itself did studies and found that the Amazon River Basin alone could support 20 billion, with a B, people. So this whole idea that, oh, well, it's the population bomb, and we can't let there be too many people on the planet or else we're going to kill it for everybody. Wait a minute. You guys are also in possession of technology which includes materializers, which you call constructors, that allow food to be created out of the quantum background of space and time itself. You could feed people forever. And the actual mythology from Ireland talks about that. They talk about the gods coming from this realm they call Tuatha De Danann, and that they had this cauldron, as it was called back then. And now we think of witches when we think of a cauldron, but a cauldron was really just where you made your food from. And the cauldron was everlasting, and you could keep pulling food out of it, and more food would come out and never stop. So that's a mythological reference to the ancient technology these ETs had, which has been suppressed. It's something that various powers that be have, and they can use it, and it could be distributed, and we could very easily migrate off planet with the use of anti-gravity technology, with the use of food production technology. And so there's no reason to think that the Earth has to be destroyed in order to save us. That is a completely Machiavellian, satanic concept that really serves only those who would benefit from a much lower population and how that in turn would allow them to increase geopolitical control. It doesn't benefit anyone else. And in fact, they've had a real hard time trying to create this mass population reduction. They've had various initiatives that they tried to do. They tried to do it with a weaponized version of the swine flu. And George, through your show and through the brave whistleblowers who came forward, we stopped that one.
I think so.
And there have been many other examples of that. And you keep hearing something new on the internet over and over again. Everybody wants to drum the drums and say, oh my God, the big one is coming. The difficulties are about to begin. We're right on the threshold of the New World Order is going to take over. Well, look, I mean, come on. How many years are we going to hear this? Even back when I got on the internet in 1995, and the original progenitor of your show, George, which was with Art Bell, every night Art had somebody on saying, oh, my God, it's about to happen. I mean, am I wrong? Go back and listen to the archive on Streamlink.
Every night. No.
Okay, so why hasn't it happened? It hasn't happened on a multiple level because, first of all, the people don't want it to happen. They don't have enough personnel to hold the guns. Second of all, higher intelligence is intervening and making sure that it doesn't happen. I want to give a specific example.
Okay.
There was a website called AlMartinRaw.com, and he revealed in there that when you get a guy like Rumsfeld on television saying, yeah, we know how many gallons of sarin Saddam Hussein has gotten. We know right where it is. It's north of Tikrit near Baghdad. Well, look, do you really think that they were going to say something like that without actually planting that type of weaponized material in that location? So, ooh, look, there it is. We found it.
Well, we gave it to them.
Well, but it's more than that. Al Martin Raw.
Hold on for a second, Dave, but we're at the top of the hour, and we will come right back. We'll talk a little bit more. I've got to ask you about Edgar Cayce, though, and why people believe you may be his reincarnated version, and then we'll take phone calls. Final hour to go with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM.